Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hi, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and if this is the first time you're catching our show, Answering the Call is a program that allows us to meet up close and personal some of our ordained clergy and religious in our diocese and at times beyond our diocese, and hear how they heard God's call in their lives and how they responded to it. And my guest today is Father Pat Toner, the pastor of St. Joseph Catholic Church in Plain City, Ohio. He's no stranger to St. Gabriel. He's been on a number of our shows in the past, so you may recognize his voice and certainly his laugh. In his 37 years of priesthood, Father Toner has had an exciting array of services. We're going to be learning all about that today here on Answering the Call on St. Gabriel AM 820. Welcome back to the studio, Father Toner.
Thank you, Elizabeth. But we've only got a half an hour.
And we're going to get right into this because he has so much to tell us today. Father Toner was born in Pittsburgh, but he moved to Columbus when he was four. So this really is his home. And let's start at the beginning, Father, and tell us a little bit about the family you were born into and the experience of the Catholic faith you had starting as a young child.
Well, Dad is an Irish Catholic male. Mom was a German Protestant. Hildegard Wilhelmina Wilhelm.
Wow.
that is a mouthful. But Mom became a convert as a result of catechism. I would come home from school, and she would drill me on the questions and answers, and often give me questions to take back to sister. Mm. So that's the way she learned the catechism, and after a while, simply took the formal step and became Catholic.
We've had a number of priests, actually, who have said that one of their parents was a convert or a non-practicing. You know, it's interesting how we've had a lot of that combination. But you did go to Mass every Sunday.
Confession every Saturday afternoon, Mass every Sunday.
Okay. No particular devotions or?
No. Not as a family, we didn't.
Okay. And then you attended parochial school.
Went through St. Aloysius grade school from grade 1 through 8, and then went on to St. Charles for high school.
And did you serve as an altar server?
I started serving in the 5th grade. We were taught at St. Aloysius in school. And then when St. Agnes was created, Father Smith asked me to be a regular server. So I served 6:30 Mass every morning for years and years and years.
And was it at that time in your life that you first considered priesthood?
The thought was there. The Sisters of Notre Dame always promoted that as a good option. And being impressed with the stories of the saints, I was very much inclined to it.
Okay. And would you say you had some good role models in the parochial school in your experience, priests, sisters?
Oh, I've been blessed with many, many outstanding priests as examples growing up. I had met Father Carl Claggett when he was a counselor at summer camp. Wasn't a priest yet. Mm-hmm. Father Charles Fuller was the assistant at St. Aloysius and a holy and devout priest. In my home parish at St. Agnes, Father Bob Schmidt, Father Ray Laval, Father mm-hmm. Romano Ciotola, they were all instrumental.
So it sounds like your elementary and junior high years at St. Aloysius were a good firm foundation. You went on to high school. What is happening with your faith in the high school level?
Well, I guess like all teenagers, you begin to question things. And some of the answers weren't very satisfactory. And so it became a time of rebellion. Mm-hmm. Still had to go to church. Mm-hmm. Mom would have killed me, and I didn't want her to commit a mortal sin and go to hell. So I went to church. When I went to Ohio State, I would tell her I was going to the Newman Center, although I was playing pool downstairs while Mass was going on upstairs.
Oh, dear. Now, you at OSU, you first started to study engineering there, and then you switched to German, which is an interesting major. And we're going to talk about that. But in your faith, as you explained, you were playing pool. Were your thoughts and plans for your life at that point, at college level? If faith was sort of taking a back burner, what were you thinking of doing with your life, and why German?
Well, the German came as a result of my military service. After 2 years at Ohio State and no clear direction, I enlisted in the Army. I was trained as a military intelligence special agent. Now, it sounds like some of the James Bond stuff, but none of those women ever tried to seduce me.
Oh, darn it.
I had served in Germany and then was sent to Vietnam. After I got out and came back, I knew I had to finish the bachelor's. Mm-hmm. So I had to declare a major as a junior right away. And I chose German because I wanted to work in intelligence, mm-hmm, and hopefully get stationed back in Europe.
So you finished up your bachelor's degree at OSU. You started lining up work prospects, and things were going great. But then something happened that would alter your path in a very different direction. And it started with, of all things, a softball game.
I was asked to play on a church softball team by some of my Baptist friends. And the requirement was that you went to church. After going to the Baptist church a few Sundays, which was right across the street from St. Agnes, I realized I didn't belong there. Mm-hmm. So I went back to St. Agnes. Father Tom Sabry was the pastor then. He got me involved teaching a fifth grade CCD class. Hmm. That led to my going on a retreat designed for CCD teachers. And the topic of the retreat was simply Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we were given an assignment for after dinner. We were to go out, take a long walk, compose a litany of thanksgiving, name each of your blessings, and say, "Thank you, God." And I had a long list of blessings. And at the end, I said, "Well, thank you, God, for all of that. If I can ever do anything for you, just ask."
That's a loaded question, Father.
Oh, who knew he listened?
You know, you have a very charming story about how God patiently continued to call you to the priesthood.
Well, my Baptist friends would discern by opening the Bible, sticking their finger in, looking for an answer. And I'd wondered whether this was really God calling me to this, so I tried that. And I got something about serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, that seems like a coincidence. So I thought I'd give God another chance. I went to the cathedral bookshop, and I was looking for a copy of the book that the priest had used. Couldn't find it anywhere. And being kind of a wise guy, I says, "Okay, God, if you're really calling me, I'll give you 3 days to get this book." When I went up to the counter to order it, the lady reaches down underneath and pulls it out. It had just come in. They hadn't even priced it yet. Of course, that struck me as, well, that's a coincidence. You know, when you're new at this, that's the conclusion you always reach. So I said, "Okay, God, you have to say this in a way that I can't misunderstand." That night, I went over to a girlfriend's house. We were going out for a movie. And when she answered the door, she said, "I ran into an old friend of ours, Father Romano, and we were talking about you, that you would make a good priest." Okay, God.
When your date tells you to be a good priest, I think that's called being hit by a spiritual 2x4.
That shows I had good taste in the women I dated.
There you go. Now, so you had all these signs, so it was kind of hard to deny that God was not calling you in this direction. So the next thing you had to do was kind of discern that path, take the next steps. And you had a rather unorthodox route to the seminary back in those days. Seminary.
We call them cemeteries too.
Well, tell us, you didn't go here in Columbus. What'd you do?
I ended up at Pope John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts, by virtue of being a second career vocation. A priest had recommended I consider looking there. And so I wrote to them, answered their application form, went up for an interview, and they accepted me. Mm-hmm. And kind of in an unorthodox way, I still hadn't even talked to the vocation director in the diocese. So for my first year up there, I was unconnected to anybody. And as I was coming home for that summer, that's when I finally talked to the vocation director, and they quickly says, okay, sign here on the dotted line.
Okay.
Now you're one of ours.
So you attended, you were up in school there in Boston for the 4 years. You got your Master's of Divinity.
Right.
Okay. And then you came back to, were you ordained up there or here in Columbus?
I was ordained in Columbus.
In Columbus.
Actually at St. Agnes Church. Bishop Herman at that time was allowing us to be ordained in our home parish. Wasn't a popular decision with the priest overall, because that year it meant three ordinations, hard to schedule.
Yes.
And after that, they went back to one ordination at the cathedral.
We're talking with Father Pat Toner of St. Joseph Catholic Church in Plain City. He's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Father Toner, you were ordained in 1975 here in the Diocese of Columbus. And your service has included parish work, high school chaplaincy, prison ministry, and a 20-year career in the military in which you retired as a lieutenant colonel. So wait, I'm saluting him right now for those of you on radio. That's very, very impressive. And I want to especially talk about these last two areas, which is prison ministry and the military. But first, I want to give our audience an idea of where and how God has been calling you to serve these past 37 years, because it's really an impressive list. You started out as an associate pastor at St. Mary's in Marion, and also served at Marion Catholic High School. You were an associate at St. Agatha's, the parish near your old softball field, and you served at Watterson High School. You were pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes in Marysville and a chaplain at a women's correctional facility in Marysville. You were a co-director of youth ministry for the diocese, pastor at St. John Newman in Sunbury. Then you served as a chaplain in the Air Force, which took you to Panama in Desert Storm. That would be your second experience of war. You worked at Walter Reed Army Medical Center back here in the States, and then you came back to the Diocese of Columbus, where you resumed work at as pastor of St. Mary's in Portsmouth. And down there, you were also serving as chaplain at the Lucasville Prison. You then went out to Newark. You were at St. Francis de Sales and Holy Trinity in Zor. Today, you're the pastor of St. Joseph's, and you've continued your prison ministry in London Correctional and at the Ohio Reformatory for Women. So, wow. Yeah, I was thinking, when I was writing up all these notes, I was thinking, man, your life is certainly not boring, Father Toner, is it?
When I went back into prison at ORW, I told the ladies, well, this is my fourth time in prison. A couple of them appreciated that, but they certainly have appreciated the care that the church gives to them.
Well, let's start with the prison ministry then. What is it? Obviously, you have a love for this and a gift for this. What is it that's so appealing about prison ministry to you?
It's a one-on-one ministry for the most part. There aren't committees. There aren't budgets. None of the things that we have to accept as part of the job as pastor, but aren't high on our favorite to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
The inmates are some of the most appreciative people that I work with. They know everything that we do is a grace, and they respond to that. They are exceptionally appreciative. I tell the story back when I was at London Correctional with the men. I had been out for a couple of weeks sick, And the guys actually sent me flowers.
Mm.
Now, you don't really treasure getting flowers from guys, but I understood there was little they could do. And even the little arrangement cost them dearly.
Yes.
out of their money.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so you're really seeing a lot of transformation in the inmates that you've worked with both the men and women. That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about your 20-year military career, because you've seen more of the world than most of us will ever hope to see.
I've been on 6 of the 7 continents.
Amazing.
And I've got Australia to go.
Okay. Tell us about some of the countries you've been, some of the highlights of your military career.
Oh, wow. That covers a lot of ground. I think one that comes to mind first is I had a chance to celebrate Mass at the South Pole.
Yeah.
Filled in for a month down in Antarctica, and that included a trip to the South Pole. I had to celebrate Mass to leave the Eucharist for those that were staying over for the winter so that they could at least have communion on Sundays.
Hmm.
A remarkable group of people. Gotta be a little crazy to... It was minus 74.3 when we landed there. But you do things like, I walked all the way around the world, and it only took me 5 minutes. another memorable experience was the month I spent down in Cuba. The guard called. They needed priests to work in the refugee camps. We had 27,000 refugees that we'd picked up at sea.
Hmm.
Brought them back to Guantanamo, created these 7 tent cities, and each of them had a priest and a Protestant chaplain responsible. And while there, I got to work with some of Mother Teresa's sisters that had come in. And the sheer joy, pound for pound, that they radiated. I had a chance to celebrate Mass for them on March 17th. And when I started, I says, well, today is some feast day. And they all sort of beamed and chimed in, Happy Feast Day, Father Patrick.
Aww.
And working with the refugees, there are stories and there are stories connected to all of those.
But pretty amazing. You said 6 out of the 7 continents you've been to, dozens of countries. It's amazing. As you look back over 37 years, the broad spectrum of places you've served, the people you've served, the roles you've played, how do you think God has prepared you for your vocation as priest?
I think with a personality that is very flexible. The sense of humor has always served me well, that in the midst of even the crazy things that go on, to be able to break that tension does a lot for the people that you serve. To be able to adapt, not knowing what resources you're going to have, to go into strange situations, strange countries, and to be comfortable with that. I understand the missionary spirit of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And as Catholics, we all love the missionaries, because we're missionary at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a chance to share in some of that.
And after all that traveling and all that exposure to different cultures, different people, Is it okay to be at one location for a long period of time? You know, is that a hard adjustment to make?
It surprised me. This is my 15th year at St. Joseph in Plain City. It almost eclipses, half of my career.
Hmm.
And I'm looking forward to, I don't know how many more years. Bishop Campbell told me, Father Toner, I want you to build a church. Well, he didn't give me the money. It's going to take me a few years to get the money and then to build the church. And even though at almost 69, it seems like retirement's around the corner. That's down the road. So looking forward to staying and doing whatever the Lord sets before me.
Well, let's take a minute to hear about St. Joe's, because this signal obviously goes throughout Ohio. So a lot of people don't know Plain City or St. Joseph. So
they don't. Shame on them.
Well, tell
us. Come visit.
Tell us a little bit about your parish, the size or the kind of people that attend there, what kind of programs you got going there.
The little church is 112 years old, seats about 150 people, very friendly people, and that's what we're filled with. It's a very generous parish with their time, their support of the missions, their support of the diocese. In a five-year period, we've had one Catholic Man of the Year for the diocese and three Catholic Women of the Year for the diocese.
Wow.
Now, Bishop Campbell says, "Father Toner, what's your secret?" And I told him, I stay out of their way. You let good people do things, and they will always amaze you. We have a devotion to the Our Lady of Guadalupe image. We have one of the relic images that was sent to the United States permanently in the church. We have a large image of the Divine Mercy, and every Saturday morning we have Mass centered around that. After Mass, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, I hear confessions, leaders pray the Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know, and it's just one of those many things in the life of the parish that has caught on.
I think that's the key to the spiritual success at your parish, all those devotions that you maybe not practiced in your own home growing up, but we're seeing that really transform entire parishes and parishioners for sure.
It's never too late to learn about the devotions and to become passionate about them,
mm-hmm.
because they complement our official prayers of the church.
Absolutely. And I think we need those devotions more than ever in the secular age we live in. You know, Father, God can certainly call anyone he chooses to the priesthood, and he can work with whatever gifts and talents, you know, each person has. But in your opinion, because of the secular culture we live in, the challenges we face, do you think there are any particular characteristics that could be helpful to a man today who might be considering the priesthood?
Oh, I don't know that you set out to cultivate anything, you know. God is going to give us the gifts and the opportunities. It is an openness, a love of the church. You have to love the church, you know, to start with. An appreciation of the missionary spirit.
Mm-hmm.
My formation included stories of the great missionary saints of the past. And Damien of Molokai was my all-time favorite.
And why is that? Because of his missionary work? Because
his life, the story with the leper colony, and everything that he did. So I always thought it'd be lovely to go to Hawaii and minister to the leopards.
It'd be lovely to go to Hawaii. Now, if someone might be listening to this broadcast and they might be thinking, a man might be thinking to himself, you know, am I being called? You know, if he's discerning this process, what advice would you have for someone today who might be discerning the priesthood?
Say yes. Give it a chance. Too often, I think we're willing to talk ourselves out of it. I'm not worthy. God made a mistake. The call must have been meant for somebody else. I don't know what I could contribute. None of us know what God is going to use us for. Some priests are great preachers, some great teachers, some are healers. One of my dear priest friends was the most gentle soul. I would watch him sit down, take a lady's hand, and she would pour out her whole life to him. Mm-hmm. It was a gift. We all bring something.
Well, we see so many of the gifts in yourself, Father Toner, that your humor and your gentle spirit and all your varied background. I'm sure that all plays a key part in how you service your people today. And one of the ways you make use of your love for travel is you do pilgrimages, and you take people on pilgrimages. And I understand you have one scheduled for Fatima and Lourdes. Tell us about that one.
Well, coming up this next April, in fact, in August, we're going to have an information night at St. Joseph's. I don't remember the date, but it's a chance. I love to go visit Mama. I've been to Lourdes. I haven't been to Fatima. Mm-hmm. So when I do these, I try to find something that I would like to do as well.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun sharing it with other people. And this will be a chance. We'll have daily mass at each of the places and a lot of fun along the way.
Oh, sounds wonderful. So if listeners are interested in that pilgrimage, you can contact Father Toner over at St. Joseph's in Plain City, and they'll give you some more information on that. But in the meantime, Father, could you end us with a blessing today?
Sure. May the roads rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine gently upon your foreheads and the rain fall softly upon your fields. Until we meet again, may the good Lord hold you in the palm of his hand. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may you be in heaven a long time before the devil knows you're dead.
Amen on that one. Thank you again, Father Pat Toner of St. Joseph's in Plain City, for inspiring us with your wonderful faith journey and the faithfulness you've had in serving the church for these 37 years. You've been truly a gift to our diocese. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm also a Catholic speaker and the author of 14 books for adults and young people, including Where Do Priests Come From?, Where Do Sisters Come From?, and Where Do Deacons Come From?. You can find out more about my books and speaking on my website, www.elizabethficicelli.com. I hope we'll have you join us again next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m., when we do another version of Answering the Call and get to meet another priest or deacon or religious sister and brother in our diocese to hear about their journeys in their faith life and how they responded to God's call. Have a wonderful week, and God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.